Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Can one ordinary man make an extraordinary difference? Author Matt Shea joins us on today's This Week in America to discuss The Spiritual Sharpshooter, a moving novel about faith, companionship, justice, and the quiet courage of ordinary people. At the center of the story is Abner Willis Fowler, a retired veteran, devoted volunteer, deeply faithful man who spends his days helping seniors, caring for forgotten animals, and comforting the lonely. Hidden beneath his gentle nature is an expert marksman whose carefully measured actions protect the vulnerable while delivering justice with mercy instead of revenge. Matt shares the inspiration behind his writing, including the influence of Andy Griffith, the values instilled by his family, and his passion for telling stories about overlooked people whose strength of character ultimately changes lives. His book celebrates small-town America, kindness, forgiveness, and the belief that everyone has value. Our pleasure to welcome back to This Week in America, old friend and prolific author, Matt Shea. Matt, great to see you again, virtually at least. Great to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Rick, I am so happy to be here. This is our 10th show you and I have done together, but you and I have come to know each other very well throughout the years.
We really have, and it's been a pleasure meeting you and corresponding with you and following your career. If you're keeping track at home, this is book number 16 in an ebook form for Matt. He's got 12 paperbacks. His website is mattshaebooks.net, and you'll be able to get information, order all of the books there as well. Matt, the Spiritual Sharpshooter has a title that immediately grabs your attention. Underneath it is really a story about faith, compassion, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Who is Abner Willis Fowler, and what inspired you to create him? I really like him. He's a role model for all of us.
It's all about the understanding that we are here to serve, and discretion is almighty. It's not how powerful you have. It's how you use it as a soldier for our higher power, the Lord God, for that matter. And he's a classic example of that. After his years of amazing decorated serviceman, he turned right around and applied it to the society. He was very good with dealing with people, caring, loving, never abused his power, use it to guide, set an example, have people think, figure out, and march forward the right direction.
There's a gentleness there that he handles things with such calm. And with his background as the sharpshooter, you'd almost think he'd be quick to respond. It's very thoughtful. It's very deliberate. He's looking out for the other person as he's trying to do this. It's a remarkable lead character, Abner Willis Fowler, in the book. I want to talk about the cover. This is important to you because Renee, your life partner, has done it again. Talk about this cover. It really captures the essence and beautifully done.
Renee has done most of my covers, and I think here on out she'll be doing each and every one. And this painting here was the initial cover. How beautiful. That, of course, the publishers do what they do to finesse it the direction they want to take it. But it's, once again, a Renee Klaus original. And you could go to her website at Artistic Expressions, Expressions spelt with an X, Artistic Expressions on Facebook, Renee Klaus, and you will be amazed of all of her work presented there. She's continuously getting people worldwide writing her, commenting her, and placing orders.
I follow her on Facebook, and I'm so impressed with the work she's doing and the comments she's getting. You're right. She's getting worldwide recognition for what she's doing. And Matt, in the video, we're showing the original picture that the cover came from. The book is set in the Pacific Northwest, a small town there. That's an area you're comfortable with growing up in the Pacific Northwest. Talk about that and how a small town really plays into this, because this really gives Abner an opportunity to reach out to people in the community, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Small town USA is about harmony, all for one, one for all. We all have been allotted different gifts. And now how can we cultivate those gifts to serve the community, to help one another, and continuously inspire? And my characters are average run-of-the-mill people such as you and me. And when it's all said and done, they save the day by being the who that they are, but it's a rotation. It's not one star. Each and every person is a value. They're a good average Joe there for the community and serving life.
Abner is an interesting character. Just looking at his background, he was shaped by loss, and that plays a big part in who he is and trying to serve those that he left, family members that he left behind. Talk about the loss, because this would cripple a lot of people.
Abner always knew that we go when it's our time, when we are chosen, and between now and then we serve. His wife and two children were serving, and unfortunately, they had lost their lives when a missionary flight didn't make it, crashed, and he lost his family quickly. And Abner knew the reason he wasn't with them is that he still had more serving to do. More things would be called upon, and he would be ready. But it's kind of cute because throughout the story, he kind of teases and taunts the Lord, kind of, why don't you let me go? Why don't you have something fall out of the sky so that I could reunite with a family? And it even goes a step further. At night when his head hits the pillow, he has a refreshing dream and experience as if he's still with them. But this time it's out past the first star of the night. It's in the galaxy, the old family sofa, the old movies. They're together as they've always spent each and every evening.
It's such a touching character that he plays, and using that grief, turning it around to help people and really do remarkable things while he's here. You mentioned sort of the inspiration for this. Where did this idea come from? Where did the idea for Abner, is that shaped after anybody you know?
Wally Cox was one of my favorite of all times, and to date ourselves, he was on Hollywood Squares. And a little bit of trivia, he and Marilyn Monroe were great friends. They would dance together. He and Marlon Brando were great friends. Wally was a harmless, caring, respected guy out of Detroit, non-threatening, dry sense of humor, but all of his strength went to the focus on quote unquote doing the right thing for what you had to work best with, but never one to show off. He didn't need credit, and that's why he drew people. He was just a lovable individual.
And it's interesting because Abner has obviously those characteristics you fashioned him sort of after Wally, but he's there, he's helping, he's reaching out, and he's not looking for anything in return, is he? He's not like trying to be the leader of the community. He just quietly is going about doing this and shaping lives and taking satisfaction in knowing that he's shaping lives.
He has reached a point in age where he finally got the picture that we're here to serve. And every morning he is going to be assigned some direction, something going to cross his path with his name on it. And what he's made up of, he sees. He's the guy who could be self-sacrificing and make a difference. And by the way, that's each and every one of us.
We can all do that. And you look and see how easy it is and the satisfaction that Abner gets for reaching out to people in the community. And it's like, you know, that's something we all could do. It doesn't cost anything. And you will get some satisfaction as well as giving out satisfaction and making somebody else's day. It's just that simple. The book is The Spiritual Sharpshooter. Matt Shea back with us on the program. This book is really so well done. Personal experience, I had to go sit in a car dealership for a couple of hours getting work done, warranty work on the car. They said it could take up to 3 hours. So my first thought was, that's a long time. I said, well, that's not, I got the book to read before I talk to Matt this time. I'll take the book around and read it. So I'm there, I'm pacing myself for 3 hours. I'm reading a newspaper and people are looking at me like, wow, somebody does still read a newspaper. Then I pull out your book, just getting started. And they say, Mr. Bratton, good news, we get your car ready. And I'm like, I don't want to leave right now. I just got the book started. Like, can you rotate my tires or something? I got this book I want to finish. They thought I was kidding, so I had to leave, and I finished it shortly thereafter. This book is so well written. How long did it take you to put this book together with Abner and all the characters and all the situations that he goes through?
It took 7 years to do it. And keep in mind, I'm always working on 20, 30, 40-some different stories. And every so often I'm in the mood for one specific, or I have to put one off to the side or writer's block and get into another one. This one had got my main focus. It started 7 years ago. And then last August, we began the slow process of getting it edited, getting it published through mass print media. And it took approximately 12 months to do that learning curve with them. We got it out. They've done a masterful job. And I'm very proud of this one. And the more hands I get into it, the more Rick Brattons, the more people who read it, the better it balances me. Because I'm never one when I have other people. It's like a plant. You need some sunshine. You need some water. You need a small combination consistent. Since people such as yourself, that's what build these stories. That's what flourishes and gets them out there.
And you did such a remarkable job in creating this world and the situations that Abner finds himself in, the people who he's able to help. We don't feel forced at any time. These are people we come in contact with all the time in our lives, sometimes overlook them, don't pay a lot of attention. Abner, on the other hand, does. He's there trying to help these people. One overlooked member of the community says, I've been pushed aside all my life. Now he's included because of what Abner has been doing. Another learned early the loneliness can shape a soul, how that can happen. And then you think, boy, I see so many people like that. They're sort of isolated, off by themselves, not in with a group of people. Just reaching out and speaking to them can make a world of difference. That's the character that we see in Abner in Matt's book, The Spiritual Sharpshooter. Talk about how you created all the different characters in here, because you've got just the right number of situations going on, different situations in the small community where we can see him in action and really see ourselves doing the same thing in our community.
Well, first of all, we have a little bit of Charlie's Angels, a little bit of Mission Impossible, because he gets contact from some government, whoever, who knows everything about Abner's skill as a marksman.
Yes.
They give him assignments, but he will only take the ones if he is going to fire a warning shot to get their attention. When they want more than that, he bows down and says, no, you're talking to the wrong person. And then I personally work at a casino. It's a fun shuttle job. It's my third one. I love it. And casinos are very open. Hey, enjoy us. We have designated drivers. And if you're having a problem with gambling, we got a lot of professional therapy for you. A lot of 800 numbers. Don't fall into that track. It is so innocent when lonely seniors find themselves in casinos and then the addiction grabs hold. Abner caught that, did something about it. And there is something about in a pool parlor, guys betting a bit where they shouldn't be on their games and so forth. He was, among other things, not just a sharpshooter, but a pool wizard. He would use that pool stick to win back money, but not to take more, to tip the scales even and let somebody know about a book and its cover, and you're too good of a person. You can have fun, but that doesn't mean you have to start gambling.
And Matt is the author of another book, The Casino Down the Street, a fascinating story. And I'd love to have Matt back to talk about that as well, helping people and making sure they don't get caught up in this, because it's real easy to get caught up in that. And one of the skills that Abner has is using his skill to get involved and to stop this. He had a situation where a friend of his got caught up in gambling. It was an ugly situation. He turned it around very quietly, very calmly, very decidedly in a short period of time. That's the lead character in the book. A great read, and I have to say I got to the end and a couple of tears at the end. One that was over with because I wanted more of Abner, and how it all ended. It's a delightful read. Matt's books are designed for young and old. This is a book you can lead out, and you've got a teenager that wants to pick it up and read it, encourage it. That's the time to get them started and understanding the power of people. Where did this inspiration come from for reaching out and focusing on these everyday heroes, people that are somewhat forgotten, neglected by society? All of your books refer to these people. Where did this begin for you?
At a young age, I could relate to Andy Griffith, the Andy Griffith Show, and Hal Mayberry never really had a superstar. They were all common people, and the actors after the show would stress that we're just common people None of us are rich or poor. None of us go to prison. None of us got famous. It's the average person being the who that you are. And then something happens and it has your name on it. And just be yourself. Walk through it. We're going to have a happy ending. And we'll all be greatly inspired.
Talk about the family, the Shea family, growing up, and your mother and siblings and the whole family, a close-knit family. Sometimes difficult to tell who all was in the family because you had foster children that were coming and going and reached out to everybody in the neighborhood. Talk about the inspiration, because that really shaped who you were at a very early age, didn't it?
Every night, my little sister, Marguerite, we call her Mo. That's a good name for a girl. We go for hours laughing about stuff, sending texts about Get Smart and other things, laughing, reminiscing, but reiterating about friendships and precious moments with family. Every morning, my brother Dan takes over. He touches base. How are you today, brother? I love you so much. And we talk about, you know, this day reminds me of the old neighborhood and that. We were always fortunate because I have five siblings. I love all of them dearly, but each one of them, including myself, were a different character altogether. And Mom and Dad kept reminding us we were never better than any of the neighbors or anyone that we had for a classmate. And if we had a bad hair day, that's nothing. Do you want to hear one of my mistakes? They could get us laughing so hard at them that you could kind of pick yourself up, Dustin. I guess this world isn't so bad after all. I guess I'm not such a misfit, but maybe a little bit at times. It was always humble that way.
It was such a large family, yet your family took in others. I mentioned the foster children. I mentioned just the neighborhood kids. What was that like with foster children and the fact that early on you were able to meet so many people from different backgrounds and relate to them?
My mother went as far as she could, the Catholic girl that she is. So she sponsored many foster children overseas. And one day, Gemma made it across because Mom had helped her become a seamstress and bought her with her American money her first sewing machine. So Gemma was the one that made it over. Others were involved with groups where you would get messages back saying how people are being taken care of and so forth. But I grew up in a multi-ethnic neighborhood. And for example, my brother Paul's wife is from Kenya. My sister Kathy's husband is from Germany. Lloyd, who is with Dan, Lloyd is from Dutch Holland area. They're all interesting, and they have their foreign tongue interwoven with English. So wherever we look, it's kind of a National Geographic entering your life. Yeah. Coming into your living room.
Sort of a United Nations General Assembly meeting when you get together for the holidays. And speaking of the holidays growing up, that was always a big deal, especially Christmas in the Shea household. Talk about that and just taking those quiet moments with family and others and how important that was. It wasn't a huge gathering and exchanging thousands of dollars worth of gifts. It was just people enjoying other people.
My mom, the wonderful Catholic girl, old school, always had a Hanukkah bush. You bet we had Jewish faith. They were always welcome there. She had a nativity scene, and Christmas, the living room would be lit up inside the house, not outside, inside. Open door policy, the fireplace going. And for example, on Thanksgiving, I would get up early to make coffee for the family, and I cut a deal with my parents. I could make the morning pot of coffee if I could go outside. So this might be like 3-5 in the morning because I woke up. But I could only walk one household down to the left, one household to the right, and basically stay in front of our house, our side of the street. I could look up at the stars, which this book is all about, looking at the stars night and knowing that there is a grace glistening, communicating with you, entering your dreams, giving you a thought and a mission for the day. So I got that special thing on a short leash, making coffee for the family, and that was a very special thing for me. Our character Abner, the spiritual sharpshooter, every night he would relate to the first star, and then when he's out as a scout leader and with other people, how about that? they have the same ritual. Every night they look for that first star, and once it appears, they look beyond. It's just a sensation of grace where we're feeling loved ones who are still around.
It's just an amazing part of who Matt is and his characters are in his book. This book is The Spiritual Sharpshooter, his newest. All of his other books are available at the website. I want to talk about the website here for a second. It's just that you don't go there and you got to order something and, you know, see you later. Give me your credit card number. You really entertain people there as well. You've got free things. You've got samples there. You've got your email. You want to have their input. Talk about that, because it really is interactive in the sense that you're really sharing what you do with other people.
I've had over 60 voice actors audition for the free audiobook. I have free audiobook in its entirety, and I have free stories, namely one dedicated to you. Remember that song we had, Mr. Sandman, and that reminded me of you. So it was Secret Radio Man in honor of, This Week in America, our buddy Rick himself at that. A lot of free stuff. You got to dig pretty deep before you hit the places where you could place orders. And if a friend of mine at work bought a book, I scold them. I say, don't do that. Just bump into me and here, have it. But I'm happy they look at the website, what they get out of it. But number one, I want their feedback. I want their ideas. Everything I've ever written about was based on meeting people halfway and having them contribute their 2 cents worth, so to say.
Everything you've done in your life has sort of been research for who you are now as a writer. We talked about growing up and Matt's interaction with the neighbor kids and the foster children. And you were in the union for a number of years where you really meet a lot of interesting people from diverse backgrounds. Talk about that and how that added to this repertoire of knowledge that you have in dealing with people.
When I was a little boy, we're talking early grade school, for whatever reason, I'd be walking down the street, a door would open. Hey, Matthew, your old man says it's okay. Come on over. I'm going to make us a little coffee. So I'm talking to one of my friend's dads. The house is empty. He's talking to me about marital problems. Well, geez, that's my friend's mommy's talking about. How's your coffee? You want a little sugar? Your dad says it's okay. They talked to me about credit cards. What are those things? Then they would talk about going to work, and I know what that meant. And so I always had the one-on-one with all the dads in the neighborhood. And then I developed a hobby that I did not let my parents know about till years later. I was sending out resumes. But every so often, I would get a job interview. And how old are you, boy? Well, when you're 18, we'll hire you. I kept doing that because it felt good that I could, upon birthday, I could get out there and get a grown-up job and get a family started and everything. And so when I was in college, the Teamster unions gave me their pitch. They said, if you sign now, we could get you out at about age 52. At age 52, they approached me and they said, well, you just qualified for your first pension. Do you want it? Yeah, I took it at age 52 to continue my life. Now I'm going to be a long-haul truck driver. I'm going to drive shuttles for Holiday Inns and Marriotts and keep the ball rolling. But like yourself and Otto, I'm never going to be idle. I'm always going to be out there rowing whatever direction I happen to be going.
And always observing. Talk about that, because that's a quality. A lot of people see things, but they don't really observe things. You do. Qualities in people, different situations. We see them reflected not only in The Spiritual Sharpshooter, but all of your books as well. Talk about that characteristic. You're able to look at something and see it a little bit differently than most people do.
As we age, we cross a line where something gets our attention and we get a feeling with it. Abner added 2 and 2 and realized that his senior neighbor was having a secret life at casinos, but with the wrong type of activity, and he made something out of it. He saw the same thing in the pool hall. He saw a young boy working for a bread company and noticed that he was unhappy with the wrong crowd. He got him involved with the Cub Scouts, so that was lightning in the bottle, the best thing for the whole community. We're all looking for a void to fill, but we can't do it on our own. And through other people created by the Lord, that's where the answer is. We are born to reach out.
And we see so many people in your book that are, I'll put them in the category of overlooked. They're sort of forgotten in society. They get this opportunity to become involved. We saw it with a couple of characters in The Spiritual Sharpshooter. It turns their life around, doesn't it? We see that happen, and that's real life and gets us thinking. It's just something as gentle as a hello, or we've got a church social this weekend. Why don't you come join everybody? You'll have a good time, you get a free meal, you'll have a chance to talk with people. It doesn't take much to make them included, does it?
No, because different is the best thing ever. When two people are identical, one of them's not needed, so to say. My parents complimented one another. My mom was a non-hypocrite, caring, self-sacrificing, old-school Catholic girl who was never brimstone and fire, who never condemned another approach to faith. And my dad was agnostic from the East Coast, a product of the Depression. East met West, and they learned from each other, but there wasn't a battleground. It was a good mesh where the children, all six of us, got to see both sides. It had always had harmony when it met.
Matt Shea, our guest on the program, if you're Googling this, it's S-H-E-A, Matt Shea. This book, The Spiritual Sharpshooter, is website mattsheabooks.net, as you heard. So many opportunities to listen, to read, to order, to gift all of his books. And you'll find out how Matt is progressing on new books as we go through the program. And yes, we've got, he's got holding up a picture of that cover. That's the one by Renee. And we've got that on the screen along with a couple of other book covers that we couldn't get all of them up because the show's not long enough for 16 of them. But we got plenty of them up there. And you can get and see all of them after you go to the website. I want to talk a little bit about the process of writing. And one of the things is the table. And we had the opportunity a few years ago to talk to Netta, who you used her table. A lot of what you produced in writing the book happened at her table, and you still are using that table.
Well, that table had since been gifted to a senior. She fell in love with it. She could relate to the era, and I gave it to her. It meant that much.
Oh, nice.
I used to collect a lot of things like racing memorabilia, and sometimes I even paid for racing memorabilia, but I never sold it. I would find somebody who had quite a collection or somebody starting, and to continue the life from Peter to Paul, kind of like how Abner walks through the book, The Spiritual Sharpshooter. So that table eventually went to someone who I felt was well-deserving. It had been with me in our family for generations, and it finally went to someone who just fell in love with it, and the life of that table continues. But my early writings, I could only write on that table, and if I couldn't come up with anything, I couldn't do it anywhere else. I now have a few other perches, nests, so to say, where there's something about writing where it just hits me full bore, and I will sit there as long as possible till it's depleted itself.
It's nice to have that creative space that you can go to and sort of shut out everything and just be comfortable, relax, be yourself with your mind and tell those stories, which Matt does so well. I understand that basically we talked about Andy Griffith, your inspiration from him. Alfred Hitchcock played a role too as well. What you would have people come in and talk and go through ideas and watch TV together. Give them a little tea and then get some ideas, sort of your own little focus group there to get feedback on what you were writing. Talk about that and how open you are to other people's interpretations and their ideas.
Alfred Hitchcock presents. He was hilarious with his dry sense of humor.
Yes.
And incidentally, his daughter became quite an actress through his writings. Very good. And so I was very happy to see a chip off the old block, so to say, do excellent theatrical work for Dad's writings. That, but they were all always suspenseful, and they had a lesson, a moral to it, but it doesn't mean the victor is now rich. A principle was addressed, a lesson was learned, and sometimes it was kind of a harsh lesson, but lessons were always delivered. It was just a beautiful way how a story was construed through the writings of Alfred Hitchcock.
And you can still see that. It might be MeTV. There's so many of those I can't keep track, but late at night, I'm talking Eastern time, like 1-1-30, they're back-to-back episodes, and you see the brilliance of Alfred Hitchcock in telling these stories. And you see a lot of famous actors and actresses that were just starting out that had roles in the series as well. It's black and white. It's fun to watch. It brings back memories, and that's what drew Madden and friends together and talk, and out of that, a lot of ideas came for some of Matt's books. Matt Shea, our guest, the book we're talking about, The Spiritual Sharpshooter. Why do you believe that many people that are most overlooked in our society often become the greatest heroes? Why do you think that is? We see them given an opportunity, and in many cases, they really take advantage of that opportunity and get involved.
They were born with those traits for us to find out why. And then in this unpredictable world, because it's an acid test, the moment comes where the situation presents itself, and you're being called upon, and you're made up of all the right stuff. It's your turn, and it's an act of nature, an act of our higher power. We're all here for a reason. And it's like a set of golf clubs. Each one of them serves a special purpose given the situation.
You don't just write about these situations. You actually live those. Talk about the satisfaction you get in the book, and many of books. In this one, The Spiritual Sharpshooter, you've got some senior citizens. It's pretty easy for them to be sort of warehoused, sort of off to the side, and they're struggling to go out the right way and their identity. You've got animals that have a big benefit in The Spiritual Sharpshooter, and we're so attached to animals and the connection that we have and getting people through all of the lives, as Mr. Peppers got Abner through in the story, The Spiritual Sharpshooter. Talk about that, the satisfaction you get reaching out to people that, are overlooked, and to see that interaction, to see that smile on their face, and to almost engage them again in society.
Yes, they're waiting to be picked. It's time to harvest. I love the Rainbow Bridge, and towards the very end, Abner and his trusty cat, Mr. Peppers, have an understanding that the Rainbow Bridge will follow parallel with Abner's path, and each will wait for the other till they arrive together. Countless stories of people having out-of-body experiences, and they include their pets right there. And there's something about pets. They put up with us. They can see the whole picture much better than we do, but we're just people. That's all we are. When you talk about rescue animals, we are the ones being selected. They rescued us. When you see somebody with that happy dog in the morning, because this community I live in, I believe 99% of the neighbors have a wonderful dog. That dog is walking them. The dog picked them. And what a family.
And it's so nice to see that association, to see them together, and everybody, the human and the animal, are having a great time with that. And they don't judge either. You can have a really bad day and go meet the animal as you're going home at night, and they don't understand that. And suddenly you're smiling. Everything is forgotten. You can put things in better perspective. What do you hope people take away? Is there one thing you want them to remember most of all after they finish The Spiritual Sharpshooter? What would the lesson be, the takeaway?
The number one lesson is that people who are deemed powerful, it's meaningless unless the discretion is proper. Discretion's the better part of valor. It doesn't matter how much you have your account or how far you could throw something. How are you applying it? How are you contributing to society? Because everybody is important. And it's very important that people understand that by design and grace, we have to be different than one another. Difference a good thing, because we cannot make it unless we're working together.
You mentioned you usually are juggling and working on different thoughts, different book ideas. What are you working on now? What do you think will be book number 17?
Well, number 17 is a story about a person reflecting on their life because they were very rich and they made the mistake of letting the children get early inheritance, and it changed everything, and misinterpreting the family last name. So this rich person actually had a son years ago out of wedlock, and the son never knew the identity of his father, this tycoon. Well, he loves it because he has his entourage study this son from a distance, going through life to see what his flesh and blood could do without connections, without wealth and power. A commoner dealing with life on its terms and surviving day to day, and how the simple things make everything. So his rich offspring with the last name, he's put out by them. It backfired. That's not your image. That's a family image. Be your own person. A little trivia. If you remember Henry Winkler, who portrayed Fonzie.
Oh, of course, yes.
He was outspoken that the money he made in Hollywood doesn't go to his children because he wants them to be themselves regardless of their father's wealth and fame. And whatever it is, he loves them because they're being you. And I greatly respect that about him.
When will we see maybe that book? I love what you're doing with that. I can't wait to talk about it. When do you think that might be published?
The rough draft is about halfway done now. And I would say a year from now, you and I will be talking about it. And I'm very proud of this because this elder man who has all the wealth and everything has feelings. And it's like a kid who got an ant farm for a gift, but he lives so far away, he doesn't have friends within 10 miles. So he's fascinated with this community working within itself. And it's the same thing studying this person who's working minimum wage law, who is very selective. His girlfriend is not a beauty queen, but she has character, substance, and that's what the old timer craves, something that he denied his kids because they were blinded by misinterpreting wealth handed to them at too young of an age.
I don't want to wait a year to talk to you. Can we do this again sooner than a year? It's been so long since we've talked.
Oh, yes, we can. We have the gambling book. This is our 10th interview, Rick. Adam, I've got 12 books out, and then a year from now, it'll be 13, if not sooner. And so, yes, any excuse to be on This Week in America with my friend Rick Bratton.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you here, and great stories that you tell. As I'm talking, and what I understand where you came from, you certainly could have written books and told these stories years ago, but all the knowledge you have now, the maturity that you have now, the peacefulness you have with your life now, how has that matured you as a writer? It looks like you're in a really good place right now.
I am. Because it has really fine-tuned, streamlined things where it's just simpler, simpler, simpler. Now, we remember the rock band, the Rolling Stones. Charlie Watts was their original drummer. He passed away in recent years. He had a very drum set and didn't do drums to be the center of attention to coincide with the bass, the rhythm, and the music. A gentleman. And by the way, he was married to the same woman, just one woman, for many decades. A classy individual in the universal language of music. I streamlined to make it more and more simple because the commodity is about profiling average people we could relate to because that's who each and every one of us actually is and how it's a point in time where your distinction is now called upon. And as we know in the early years of grade school, we get mocked for our distinctions and you jump on the bandwagon because of peer pressure. But when you get older, those people that dare to be themselves, they survive that kicking around acid test. And now they have built their own foundation and they are the ones who are actually going somewhere.
You know, there's so much in the books and what you just said there. You think back to school and those that were in a clique and those were the ones that were the athletes, the musicians, people that fit into that in all the social clubs. And those that were a little more reserved that weren't quite in there. And you think back to them. And if we only had the maturity then that we do now to incorporate these people, how many lives might have been changed at an early age? It's just, it gets you thinking. You will respect Abner. You will see what he's doing. You will see the satisfaction he gets. You will see the satisfaction it brings to the recipients of his kindness. It's just a remarkable story, The Spiritual Sharpshooter. Our guest has been Matt Shea, who is the author of that book and so many more. You'll find them on his website, mattsheabooks.net. Yep, all the books there, many of them with Renee's book covers, and we'll see her work. And check that out. That's what artistic expert. Now, what's the official name of the company?
It's Renee's site is Artistic Expressions, Expressions spelt with an X on Facebook. And she has a lot there, and she's very good about answering people. And I could honestly say I've done a good job answering people who have written me.
Well, and that's why I got the email there. Usually you don't find a popular author that has their real email there. Trust me, because we correspond a lot. That is his real email, and he responds, and he wants the input for future stories and to guide him and for him to give his advice if you have any when you're trying to get in contact with him. So, Matt, it's been a pleasure. We will not go another number of years. It's been way too long since we talked. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Always my pleasure, and we'll do it again real soon.
God bless you, my friend. You make my day. And for the radio world, throughout the year, you and I touch base, and it's always fun. There's always some good laughter when I get a message from you, Rick.
And that's always good. And yeah, I'm up late, and that's not all that late for you. So it works into our schedule, a three-hour difference between East and West time zone. So it's always a pleasure to talk with Matt, especially on the program. And we will have him back. You'll find information on tonight's program, other interviews we've done with Matt, and information on Matt on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you can listen to all of our programs on our 28 podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Audible, Odyssey, TuneIn, Google, and many more. Of course, the video on YouTube, information, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Blue Sky, so many others. So check us out, like us, make a comment if you will, and subscribe.
Rick, I want to slide in one more amusing feature about Renee. Very often she'll come up with a modern art abstract, whatever those things are called, and then she'll ask various people what they think a good title would be. And so she meets people halfway, what does it do to them, and then considers what they would call it. She really mixes it up with the rest of the world out there. I love it.
Well, you and her make a great company, a great family. It's interesting because you're both willing to listen. You adapt. You want to make people happy with your artwork, her artwork, the painting that she does, the paintings that she does, you with the books. It's amazing. And that's Renee. And again, you can check that out. And there's the picture right there. So many more you'll find on her Facebook page. We'll have all that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Subscribe, by the way, while you're there, and follow more of our programming.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.